All right, tonight we're going to take 2 Chronicles, chapters 25 and 26. And we've got two more chapters up through 28 in this section, chapters 10 to 28, on the kings of the south, Judah and Jerusalem. The south will fall, and then we're going to study about the north until the north falls. Actually, the north's going to fall first, and then the south. The north's going to fall in 721 B.C., and the south in 586. So we're going to study the kings of the south up through chapter 28. The north is going to fall, and then we'll study the rest of 2 Chronicles that brings us up to the fall of the south. So in the study of the kings, we left off last time with Joash. Now remember, he's the young boy that was hidden for 6 years by Jehoiada, who is the priest at the time and the priest's wife. And so he was hidden until one day he was brought out and he was made king. Now our text tells us that when he became king, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he did what was good in the sight of the Lord, being obedient to the Lord in all things, until Jehoiada died. That would be the priest. And when that godly spiritual influence was taken away, the Joash turned and to do those things that were disobedient to the Lord. And so it was interesting that Zechariah, who was Jehoiada's son, would be brought in amongst other prophets to prophesy, and God bringing his message to Joash, and Joash hated it. He hated to hear what the prophets had to say. He hated to hear that he was doing wrong, that he was being disobedient to the Lord. And so he had them killed. And so it came to pass that according to chapter 24, verse 23, that the Lord caused the Syrians to arise up and come up against Joash. And the Syrians came, and the text tells us in verse 24 that because they had forsaken the Lord, that the Lord had given the Syrians strength to overcome them. And so when the Syrians withdrew, the servants of the Lord, kind of interesting, you think that, okay, God's judgment is coming against me. And the Syrians, all of a sudden the Syrians withdraw, and it's like, whew, okay, God really doesn't have it out for me. But the point is, the attack of the Syrians caused the servants of Joash to turn against him. So God really didn't need to have the Syrians come in and just wipe everybody out. He had them attack, and there's a great war, and they killed some people and then backed off. But then the servants of Joash were embittered against him for this, and they turned on him and killed him. And the ones who conspired against him to kill him is mentioned in verse 26. And then verse 27 says, "Now concerning his sons and the many oracles about him and the repairing of the house of God, indeed they are written in the annals of the book of the kings. Then Amaziah, his son, reigned in his place." Chapter 25. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoiadan of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. The word loyal in Greek is a Hebrew, is the word whole or complete. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but his whole heart wasn't in it. And I got to thinking of how many times we've seen people, and even know in our own lives, that we did what was right in the sight of the Lord because we knew in our minds that it was right, but eventually what was in our heart caught up with us and caused us to be pulled away. The text, the scriptures tells us that we are to seek the Lord with our whole heart. Only then will he be found. We are to serve the Lord with our whole heart. We're to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And anything short of that, we're opening the door for problems. Satan is going to, according to Job chapter 1, Satan is going to study us, he's going to survey us, and he's going to find not the strong areas, but the weak areas. And that's what he did with Amaziah. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with his whole heart. "Now it came to pass, as soon as the kingdom was established for him, that he executed his servants who had murdered his father, the king. However, he did not execute their children, but did as it is written in the law of the book of Moses, and this is from Deuteronomy 24:16, saying, the father shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall the children be put to death for their fathers, but a person shall die for his own sin. Therefore he killed the servants who had killed his father, but he didn't put to death their children. He only put to death those who were responsible for their own sins. Verse 5. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and set over them captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, according to their fathers' houses, throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them to be 300,000 choice men, able to go to war, who could handle a spear and a shield. He also hired 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel for 100 talents of silver. But a man of God came to him, saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, not with any of the children of Ephraim. But if you go, be gone. Be strong in battle, even so God shall make you fall before the enemy, for God has power to help and to overthrow. Isn't that an interesting statement? For all of God's people, God has two capabilities. He can either help us or cause us to be overthrown. That's kind of interesting. That's the two choices. It's not that God always helps us. Sometimes he overthrows us in judgment. Then Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do about the 100 talents which I have given to the troops of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. So Amaziah discharged the troops that had gone to him from Ephraim to go back home. Therefore their anger was greatly aroused against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. They had gotten paid for this. They came together, they wanted to fight in battle, and they were told, just go home. It made him angry. Then Amaziah strengthened himself, and leading his people, he went to the Valley of Salt and killed 10,000 of the people of Seir. And the children of Judah took captive 10,000 alive, brought them to the top of the rock, and cast them down from the top of the rock, so that they all were dashed in pieces. But as for the soldiers of the army, which Amaziah had discharged, so that they would not go with him to battle, they raided the cities of Judah from Samaria to Beth Haron, killed 3,000 in them, and took much spoil. So while Amaziah was gone fighting, they came back, and they raided Judah and killed 3,000 people and took some of the spoil. Now it came to pass that after Amaziah came from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the people of Seir, set them up to be his gods, and bowed down before them and burned incense to them. Why in the world would the Lord give you victory and take the idols of the people that you defeated and make them your gods when the true and living God gave you the victory to begin with? Therefore the anger of the Lord was aroused against Amaziah, and he sent him a prophet who said to him, why have you sought the gods of the people, which could not rescue their own people from your hand? Stop and think about it. You're worshiping false idols that were not even able to rescue their own people. You're worshiping gods that are false. They can't help their own people. Now you're worshiping them. So it came to pass that as he talked with him, that the king said to him, have we made you the king's counselor? Cease! Why should you be killed? Then the prophet ceased and said, I know that God has determined to destroy you because you have done this and have not heeded my advice. Now Amaziah, king of Judah, asked advice and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz. Now this is a different Joash. This is the one in the north. Remember, two kings with the same name overlapped and were reigning at the same time. Joash the boy was in the south, and Joash was in the north ruling at the same time. The son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us face one another in battle. So Amaziah just basically chose them off, said, let's fight. And Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give your daughter to my son as wife. And a wild beast that was in Lebanon passed by and trampled the thistle. Indeed, you say that you have defeated the Edomites, and your heart is lifted up to boast. Stay at home now. Why should you meddle with trouble that you should fall, you and Judah, with you? That was, don't mess with me. You beat the Edomites, but you're messing with big time now. Just stay home. We're living here. You live there. Don't mess with trouble because you're going to fall. But Amaziah would not heed, for it came from God that he might give them into the hand of the enemies because they sought the gods of Edom. Now, isn't that interesting? This also is attributed to be God. Do you know why he wouldn't listen to the advice? Because it came from God that he wouldn't. He wanted to fight because it was God's way of defeating him. So Joash, king of Israel, went out, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced one another at Beth Shemesh, which is to Judah. And Judah was defeated by Israel, and every man fled to his tent. Then Joash, the king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, at Beth Shemesh, and he brought him to Jerusalem, and broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and silver, all the articles that were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, the treasures of the king's house and hostages, and returned to Samaria. Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived 15 years after the death of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, from first to last, indeed are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? After the time that Amaziah turned away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent after him to Lachish and killed him there. Then they brought him on horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. How it is interesting, two things. How you can become so victorious that you and become so arrogant that you think that you can do anything, that you cannot be defeated in whatever you do. You're invincible. And so he felt like he could take these foreign gods and set them up, and he had lost all sensitivity to obedience to the Lord. He was so victorious, but God gave him the victory. What is interesting here, and the key to this whole text, is verse 8. God is able to help you, and he's also able to overthrow you. He helped you and gained you the victory, and then you became so arrogant and self-confident that God caused you to be overthrown. The Lord, and it came from the Lord, that he would not listen to the advice of Joash, the king of Israel, so that he, that is Amaziah, would be defeated. That's all God's judgment. And how much more responsibility and credit we need to give to the Lord. The Lord's the only one that can open people's hearts. Secondly, the Lord also closes people's hearts. The Lord also causes people to make the wrong decisions, so that they experience the judgment of God. So we need to really trust the Lord in everything. He is the Lord over everything. I can remember after this accident on Highway 166, as a woman down in Los Angeles said to me, she says, I can accept the fact that the Lord saved you and rescued you, but don't tell me that the Lord was in charge of the other people who died. I said, oh yes, he was. The Lord's hand was over everyone's life. It was a day of destiny, both for those who died and for those who lived. Well, don't tell me that God ordains that people die like that. I said, why not? Look what God did in the sacrifice of his son. I don't think that was the prettiest thing in the world. At least when the people fell into the Cuyama River, they died almost instantly. But on the cross, it took many hours, not only of suffering, but of hanging on the cross. God showed his love, and it was God's ordained way. It was counseled before the foundations of the world that he should be crucified. So that wasn't an accident. God was in charge of that. He ordained it. Why would he not ordain the way people die? I said the original apostles, all except for the apostle John, but all the original apostles suffered a martyr's death. John the Baptist was beheaded. I mean, these are the great men of God. Now, you can't tell me that God's hand was not upon their life. In fact, the scripture tells us that precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. I said, these people died for the glory of the Lord. They suffered for him this way. They have great reward in heaven. We just can't accept that a God of love would also be in charge of some kind of a death like that. Yes, he is. He has to be in charge of everything. See. Chapter 26. Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah. Now Uzziah also has several names. He's also known as Azariah. There are two different spellings. There's Azariah and Uzziah. They're both the same person. Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem, long time. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Isn't that interesting? As long as he would seek the Lord, God caused whatever he did to prosper. Now, the word prosper doesn't mean so much financially. Some people use that as a health and wealth doctrine. To prosper means to be successful, to advance, to accomplish what you do. And so, as long as he would seek the Lord blessed him, in essence. Now he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and he built cities around Ashdod and amongst the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gur-Bahiel, and against the Meunites. Also the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. Now, what is interesting here again, what is the fame of Uzziah in the human sense? Is that he's a great warrior, he's a great politician, he's a great leader. Who's making him? The text tells us that God helped him to accomplish all of these things. And again, the same problem with his father is that once he became successful, once God helped him to accomplish all these things, and he became famous and popular, it went to his head. God caused him. God should have gotten the glory and the credit, because he should have said, look, the only way I can accomplish these things is the Lord did it. So don't make anything great out of me. So he says in verse 10, and he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies, according to the number of the roll as prepared by Jehiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the officer, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600. And under his authority was an army of 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. I want you to notice that. He was marvelously helped until he became strong. Now that he's strong, now all of a sudden he's starting to make devices. Oh, I'm strong and I have a great army, but I'm going to perfect this thing. But he did it in the human. The only way that he became strong and mighty was because of the hand of God, not because of the weapons, not because he had mighty men or many men, but because God had done it. Now he's taken over. Now that he has become strong, he has took some skilled craftsmen and said, let's invent some modern weapons. And let's take the weapons that we've had and make them better. We're really going to be a great army now. Well, you know, that's really taking over for the things of the Lord. And so he says in verse 16, But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn the incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God. So here's a man that says, hey, I'm the mighty Uzziah. I've got this great army. I've perfected the weapons. I'm going to go burn incense in the temple. I mean, that just carries right on over. Well, he's not allowed to. The priests, God has designed certain ones to go in. The priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated, they're the only ones that can go in and burn incense. He decides he's just going to walk right in there like it's an ordinary building. And he's going to burn incense and he's going to do the priestly honors. So they run in. They say, you can't do that. Get out of here. God did not ordain you to do that. Verse 19, then Uzziah became furious. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord, besides that is alongside of the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out, because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house, because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people in the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from the first to the last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, wrote. So Uzziah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of burial, which belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. Then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. So a lot of the information, apparently Isaiah wrote down in his journal about some of the things that happened. And I think this is all fascinating. We understand two things. God can help us, and he can also cause us to be overthrown. When he does help us, we have to be careful. We have to be humble and recognize who it is that's giving the help and why it is we're prospering, succeeding in whatever we're doing in serving the Lord. We are prospering because of him and him alone. Nothing we've done or deserved. If we should ever feel that we are great, if it should go to our head, if it should cause us to be puffed up, as it says about the king, that it went to his head was lifted up, his heart was lifted up, that is, became arrogant. And so, to the point that it showed that he was going to go in and just do the priestly honors. He didn't care what God's word said. He was not humble about it at all. He's the great King Uzziah. And God struck him in judgment. That is the story of these two chapters. The same God who helps can also overthrow. His helping us should not cause us to become arrogant. His helping us should humble us. Because he does such great things. We should be in awe. But it can go to our heads. We can think that we're somebody great, that we've done it. And it shows in what we did. Uzziah tried to get craftsmen to perfect the weapons of war when it had nothing to do with God's blessing. But you could tell right then and there that Uzziah took over for God's help and was going to perfect the human resources for his army. And it showed when he went into the temple and served as priest and burned incense on the altar. Those are indications that his head has been lifted up. And the same God who helped him at the beginning, same with his father, the same God who helped them is the same God that caused them to be overthrown. That's who God is. And it should humble our hearts. The scripture says that we are to walk humbly before God. When he does do great things, it's realizing that he is the one that's doing it. The only way we could prosper is because of him. And it is not because of ourselves. Let's close with prayer.